I'm Dr. Casey Mixon, Assistant Professor at Valdosta State University's Psychology, Counseling, and Family Therapy Department, and Project Director for the Military Families Learning Network Family Development Team. Along with Barry Sobelson, Licensed Family Therapist and MFLN Family Development Programming Coordinator, we invite you to join us for our anchored podcast conversations. We started this podcast in hopes to support and inspire those connected to military families. Each episode focuses on real-life struggles and practical solutions to lessen the harmful ripple effects. We invite you to sit back, relax, and get anchored with us.
For military families and service members, the reintegration process can be confusing, to say the least. While the process intuitively presents itself as being an exciting and joyful time, it can oftentimes become one of the biggest challenges a military family will face. We asked 7 military spouses to share their experiences of the reintegration process with us, articulating both the joys and the challenges. As you will notice from their candid and heartfelt responses that I will read, there were several common themes in each of their stories. As you listen to their responses around their personal experiences with reintegration, we encourage you to think about the fact that most of them will do this numerous times throughout their spouse's military career. Think about the possibilities for military service professionals to assist in making this a less stressful time by providing a safe and open space for military families to go, in addition to resources that can have the potential for changing their lives. Obviously, we were really excited to have my husband back from deployment, but my husband had left for a deployment when our son was about 1.5, and just getting him reintegrated with our son and with our daily life was really, really challenging. And we were not in the best place before he left, so just trying to work through our issues we basically put on a shelf was extremely difficult. The joys of our family being back together, togetherness, being reminded of why we love each other, having daddy back, having a husband back, and that physical presence and support. Challenges would be trying to figure out how we function as a family of 4 again. Who does what chores? Who does discipline and how? Him learning how the children have changed and refiguring his parenting. Just getting back into that rhythm. There's usually more joys than challenges, though, and for that I am thankful. And that is because a lot of prayer and a lot of hard work. The return of your spouse who has come back into your arms after months of being gone for so long and talking virtually or through snail mail, those things can be very exciting, an exciting time for both partners in the relationship. Some of the biggest challenges, though, are definitely just readjusting and shifting the roles that you've been doing for so long and having your spouse kind of take over some of those new roles. And so I think a lot of it has to do with communication. Just the newness, the fact that they're back in your life for the first time after anywhere from a few months to a year, and there's this kind of acquaintance period that's maybe sparking some new things and bringing some energy in your relationship. Because you haven't been connected physically, and maybe there's an emotional lull as well. So there's this kind of spark of newness. I think that also comes with this period of time where you're trying to figure each other out again. And that definitely brings about challenges of how do you learn to let go of things that you owned for that time period? And how do you help your spouse know that they're needed again? And they're trying to navigate the idea of being needed by a family and where they fit in. Your spouse is home and they get to share in your life again. And some of the challenges are letting go of those things that you've been holding on to so tightly while they've been gone. And you have to be everything, do everything for your family. Just releasing some of those, asking for help even, can be a challenge, and just letting them back into your life. We're happy to have him home, happy to get to spend time with and love on daddy that's been pretty virtual for the last few months. So I think the overwhelming excitement lasts for a good while in our house. I'll say the challenges have more to do with communication, and I think that for us, I was excited to have somebody home that would help with the garbage and the dishwasher, and I never really voiced those things. I just assumed that they would be done. And when they didn't happen, that got really frustrating. So I think throughout lots of reintegration time, our family has figured out that I need to make sure to give specific places for my husband to have things to do with the children specifically, Like, he'll start doing the nighttime, the bedtime story, or he'll pray with the kids at night. I mean, we all do that as a family, but I try to be very specific, like, you give everybody a bath, or just something that they can look forward to that Daddy's going to be doing with them. And that just seems to make it easier for us. Some of the joys that we have during reintegration, obviously, is the sheer touch of our loved ones, to see that my kids run into his arms when he comes home, and to show him how much they've grown and how much they've learned. I get a sense of pride out of maintaining our household and thriving while he's gone, not just surviving. We find joy in the little things, not having to be apart for dinner, or, you know, going for walks in the neighborhood, just the little things that we didn't have before. Some of the obstacles are pretty obvious. You know, I've maintained a household for 9 months to a year, and I have my routine, and I have my way of doing things that has perpetuated our lifestyle. And when he comes home, it's difficult because he wants to do this, or he wants to do that, or he wants the kids to stay up late, or it's okay if the kids get in our bed at night when we go to sleep. And I've developed a lifestyle outside of that. And so having him fit in our lifestyle, having the kids go to him when they get a boo-boo, or having the kids ask him to do things with them, those are the things that are really hard for us. And he has trouble because he forgets that he has more than one person to take care of, that he's got two kids that have to eat supper and not just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for himself.
As you heard in these personal responses from military spouses, there is so much more to reintegration from deployment than civilians might initially assume. But if you are a military family member, service member, or someone who is closely connected with the military, then you are likely to feel rather connected to these stories, identifying with them in many ways. Since September 11th, service members have faced multiple deployments to conflict zones around the world. The transition back home can be hard and full of challenges, as captured in the responses you just heard from some military spouses. Joining us today is Mrs. Amber Meza. Amber works for the American Red Cross as the volunteer coordinator on Moody Air Force Base here in Valdosta, Georgia. In addition to working in this position, Amber is very familiar with military life as she served in the Air Force for 5 years and is the spouse of a military service member herself. Amber and her husband have lived in many places during their military service, including Alabama, Washington State, Italy, and Korea, where they got married. She and her husband have experienced 8 deployments in their military life. Amber is one class away from receiving her master's degree in environmental management. When she isn't offering her talents to the Red Cross, hitting the books hard for school, or maintaining her household, you will find Amber spending time raising her 2 little girls. Amber is going to talk with us today about one of the many programs that she coordinates for the Red Cross locally. This program is called Reconnection Workshop. Before we start talking with Amber about this amazing program and all of the work she is doing, I wanted to share a very quick story of how I learned about Reconnection Workshop. Casey Mixon, the project director for our family development team, and I were headed from Valdosta to Washington, D.C. for a meeting with our Department of Defense partners. On the flight from Valdosta to Atlanta, I had the privilege of sitting next to a gentleman who serves as a volunteer for Reconnection Workshop. After landing, I couldn't wait to share my experience and all of the wonderful things I had learned about this special program. In fact, I had wished that the flight had been a little bit longer. But it was serendipitous that I was able to sit next to him. So I did reach out to the Red Cross to find more information and landed in the arms of Amber Meza. And that brings us to where we are today. Welcome, Amber. We are so happy to have you here today to tell us about all of the exciting work that you're doing. So if you don't mind, I would love for you to share just a little bit of information about your personal experience with reintegration process as a way of kind of orienting those people who might not be quite as familiar with the challenges as military service members and their families are.
Well, Mary, with over 7 deployments and 20 years of military life, my husband has come back and forth many times, and we've faced a lot of issues with communication, changing of roles, growth within our relationship. A lot of times those things are hard to communicate when they come back. For me, being the spouse, I sometimes have to take on a dual role of being mother and father in his absence. So that becomes difficult to give up once he comes back and is in the family all of a sudden again, and you're trying to figure out who does what, and it can be difficult. And for his side, some of the issues are he's been in a deployed location. He's sometimes over many people, so he's giving orders to other people. Some come back from hostile environments and conflict. That can create a lot of issues as well.
What about for your kids from their standpoint? Is that a hard adjustment for them?
Absolutely. The kids grow. Sometimes, like with us, our kids have grown from now they're not sleeping in the bed anymore and mm-hmm. are in the crib anymore. Now they're in a bed and things are it changes a lot for them. And then the roles have to resume and change back to mother and father instead of just mommy doing all the roles. So mm-hmm. it becomes difficult. Like who says I can do what? Uh-huh. And it creates a lot of conflict.
Yeah.
So there's the communication really is the biggest part, and that's what we're doing here with the reconnection workshops, mm-hmm. trying to foster communication within the family.
Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming from what you've said, that's the biggest challenge for you, or that's been the biggest hurdle for you with your personal experience with
yes.
reintegration?
Yeah. Communication.
And how do you and your family work through that? What have been some helpful tips that you could share, or just some things that have been helpful for you guys?
When resuming the roles, trying to be understanding of each other mm-hmm. and realizing, being soft with each other, basically. When you have conflict, to kind of step back sometimes and say, you know what, maybe we should follow these roles again, and this is really what he should do. Communicating amongst each other and figuring out what the roles are now. Again.
Sure, sure.
So it's helpful.
Would you say since the very first deployment to now his most recent deployment, there's been a change in the way that you guys adapt to that reintegration?
I think all of the deployments have changed us. Mm-hmm. Every time he comes back, we're new people, we're older, different dynamics. Now we have children. Now we have school, not just small children, but now we're in school and there's homework and, you know, all the different things that come with that. So,
yeah. Yeah. So it's different from the first one, but it may not necessarily be different in a good way. It's just different.
Right. It has been different positive and it has been different negative.
Uh-huh.
We've missed childbirths. I mean, he's been gone overseas. When I had my second child, she had a lot of medical issues, and those were trying times for me. And when he came back, it brought up a lot of emotions, you know, like nothing that he can really help, nothing that he could have done, but it makes me feel bad, you know, that I didn't have the support. But there's nothing he could do about that.
Sure, sure.
So those are just raw emotions mm-hmm. that I felt during that time frame.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yes, some positive times he's come back, and sometimes it's been not as positive.
Right.
But
right.
we will always work through it mm-hmm. through communication.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good. And have you found a support system within the military? Like, do you have friends that support you, family that supports you?
Yes.
That type of thing?
Both friends and family. Good. Right now I have an excellent support system. I have tons of military wives that are that I'm friends with, and so we communicate and talk, and we, you know, toss around what happens with, you know, each deployment, because they're so very different, and it helps a lot just to be able to talk about it and realize, you know, things that you seem like may seem like they're weird are completely normal. Everybody else is feeling the same thing.
Sure.
So it helps to talk about it with friends and the community.
Yeah, and to have a community that that understands from a personal standpoint, I'm sure speaks volumes, because if you have friends who are civilians, while they may be able to sympathize, they might not be as empathetic as those friends who are military friends, right?
Exactly. They sometimes don't understand the difference in, you have a loved one that's gone for an entire 6 months, sometimes 8 months, a year, some service members. And that's very difficult when you have a parent absent, especially when you have children. It definitely creates a lot of issues. Sure. And especially with children, they don't understand. Mm-hmm. When they get older, it seems to me it's more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, because they have kind of a better grasp of where their parent might be, and yes. what the risks are associated with that.
I think
and such,
that,
right?
As well as you add in, as they get older, you add in school, friends,
mm-hmm.
different things within their lives. They kind of develop their personality. They're not a baby anymore. They don't just need to be fed. They now, their emotions, you know, they have emotions and they have to.
And emotional needs.
Yes, emotional needs.
Yeah, not just feed me, make me, you know, help me go to sleep, put a roof over my head. Yeah, they can identify their emotional needs for sure. So I can imagine that it would be helpful for them to also have friends who are in the whose families are military families, because they would then understand that, because I can imagine that civilian kids wouldn't understand as much as their military friends would.
I definitely think it's easier for them to relate to other military children. Mm-hmm. They know that they're going to leave or eventually they're going to leave, and they can talk to them about the issues that arise during deployments, or when dad comes home or mom comes home, so they can communicate with someone at their level.
Right.
It helps.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it definitely helps. Well, so Amber and I are talking, about this reintegration process and about the stress that happens with most military families, if not all military families. And there are programs in place to help support families going through this process. And I want to talk a little bit about the Red Cross. So when people first hear the Red Cross, their first thoughts are not usually around military families and programs like Reconnection Workshop. So why don't you take just a few minutes to talk about the Red Cross and the many wonderful facets of the organization.
Okay. Blood services, there are five lines of service within the Red Cross.
Okay.
And probably the most notable and the one that everyone hears about the most is blood services. They're the ones that come out and collect blood and, you know, give back to the community in that way. However, there are four other lines of service, one being disaster services. Those are the office here in Valdosta that goes out into the community when there are fires in a home or tragedies there, tornadoes, hurricanes, any type of disaster. And then we have health and safety services, who are your first aid, CPR, lifeguard, caregiving. They do classes for that stuff. International services, that speaks for itself. And then there's my service, is service to the armed forces. SAF is a military-focused line of service, and it ensures that service members, veterans, and their family members have worldwide, around-the-clock access to humanitarian services.
And that's awesome. That's awesome. One of my favorite things about Amber was a story that she shared with me when I first met her, that when she tells folks that she works for the Red Cross, they immediately assume that she does something to do with blood services, right?
Exactly.
And so your reaction is always,
no, I don't need your blood.
I'm not here to take your blood.
I will transfer your information to someone, but I actually mainly focus on just military.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is so important. I mean, it's a funny story, but it's so important to use that story to share with others that the Red Cross does so much more than just that. And I hate to minimize that, because what that is exactly fantastic and wonderful, and it saves many, 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 many lives. But at the same time, it's good to have people like you who can tell us, no, this is not the only thing that we provide. So tell us a little bit more about those, the service to the armed forces.
Some of the things that they provide, just a few, are emergency services. That is our 1-877-272-7337 number. And that's where trained caseworkers work with members to determine their needs and help provide information, referrals, start an emergency message, emergency loans, and leave extensions under certain circumstances. We also offer volunteer opportunities for here in Valdosta at the 23rd Medical Group on base. We're always looking for volunteers. And a couple of the programs, one being the Reconnection Workshop, but another is the Home Fire Campaign. We're a new office, so we're developing these programs as we go along. We've been in business about 6 months. So as our program grows, these programs will grow as well.
Sure.
and the things that we all can offer will grow as well.
Can you share with us about the Home Fire campaign? I thought that was really neat, if you don't mind sharing.
Yes. The American Red Cross usually does, this year it's going to be, in 2018, it's going to be a huge push out in October. And what they do is they go into communities where they determine there's a need for smoke alarms. And they provide those smoke alarms to people in need. So basically they go house to house and they determine how many smoke alarms you need. And a lot of times these smoke alarms don't work. The last program we did, we ended up giving out about 50 smoke detectors and installing them. We do that for free. The installation's free. And I would say of the 50 we gave out, probably 25 of the ones that were already installed actually worked. So it's a very important program. People don't check their smoke alarms often enough,
mm-hmm.
and you don't realize, hey, that's not working. So we're trying to just promote fire safety with that program.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And is that just for military families that one is?
Ours.
Yes,
Mine is, but the downtown office, disaster office, does one for 20 counties.
Mm-hmm.
In the Valdosta area.
That's so great. That is so, so great. So the emergency services piece, I'm going to repeat that phone number that Amber just gave. It's 1-877-272-7337. And tell us who would call or why somebody would use that number.
If you had an emergency or you wanted to start an emergency message, say your husband is deployed and a family member dies, an immediate family member dies, or many circumstances, many things could happen, you would call the American Red Cross and you would start that message, and they could potentially, under the right circumstances, have the loved one come home to attend a funeral or... you know, what other issues that may qualify to bring them home.
Okay. So at least set that process in motion if that's what's needed.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Very good. But that's a wonderful service that that a lot of people don't know about. So how do you get the word out about that?
We, at Moody, I go to the newcomers briefings twice a month. And we pass out information packets, and we include that. I include a little card that has all the information you would need and an additional card with just the number, something that you could put in your wallet, carry around with you. And that's how I get the message out.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. So now that we know about some of the wonderful things that American Red Cross has to offer, obviously there are so many more, so much more, but we can't cover all of that today. So really the purpose is to talk about Reconnection Workshop. So I really, really want to talk about that now. And as I mentioned, it's aimed at helping ease the oftentimes challenging process of reintegration. We've already talked about a lot of the challenges that you have faced with your family, but let's talk about kind of why Reconnection Workshop was established. Obviously, they felt that there was a need enough to create an entire program around it. So talk a little bit about that for me.
Exactly. Some of the challenges families face after deployment are communication, stress, trauma, relationship changes, depression, and sometimes anger. The Reconnection Workshops aim to address these issues by offering workshops where active duty members, veterans, and their family members can share their challenges in a safe group environment.
And that's great. That's a wonderful, wonderful resource to have. So can you share about the process of how these workshops are arranged and give us some detail on what a workshop looks like?
Okay. We like to start planning about 6 to 8 weeks out so that we can get all of the things in order. And then we will book, in that time frame, we'll book a facilitator to lead the group. And we want to have about 10 to 12 people in each group. We don't want large groups because we want it kind of to be small so we can get the most impact to those people participating.
Sure.
And then the facilitator flies to Valdosta and leads the workshop. I noticed that one of the reoccurring themes is that we like to sit in circles so that we can open communication that way and everyone can communicate freely amongst each other. and the facilitator leads the group. And we have to determine what group, what workshop we want to do. There are 5 workshops.
Okay.
And for adults, and then 2 for children.
Okay.
The 5 workshops for adults include communicating clearly, exploring stress and trauma, relating to children, identifying depression, and working through anger. And the 2 children workshops are Roger That, and these are for your 2nd grade to 6th grade children. And then Operation 10-4, it's called Confident Coping, and these are for your older children, 6th to 12th grade.
Okay. And I'm assuming the reason they start at 2nd grade is because they feel like it's a little bit harder to have a group for kiddos a little bit younger than that. Is that kind of what they're kind of going for, the school-age kids more so?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So who are the workshops for? Who can go to a workshop?
Any veterans, active duty, and their family members or caregivers.
Okay. And how long do they last generally?
Usually we schedule the workshop for 2.5 hours. We most likely will take less than 2 hours, but that just depends on communication. How freely it's flowing, it could take a little bit less, maybe even a little bit longer.
Okay. And who is eligible to request a workshop?
Anyone can request a workshop as long as they have 10 to 12 interested individuals. And you can register for the workshop at redcross.org/reconnection workshops.
And that's Reconnection Workshops is one word, and it has an S at the end of it. So that's wonderful. So from a personal perspective, how do you see these workshops benefiting military families and service members?
The workshops offer a safe environment where veterans, service members, and their families can communicate within a group of people facing the same issues. The facilitator helps lead the conversation so that each person receives the greatest benefit from the information being passed around.
Yeah. And the facilitators are usually mental health professionals?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Okay. Licensed mental health professionals.
Okay. And so anybody can volunteer to lead these groups? Or how does that work?
The Red Cross has a process, and you have to go through the training for that,
mm-hmm.
and credentialing as well.
And there is a certain curriculum that's designed for these classes, right? So,
yes.
Okay, so they're given a workbook, and basically these licensed mental health professionals are educated on educating others, right? Or
exactly.
Or on establishing these workshops?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So are the workshops, I'm just trying to get an idea of kind of what the feel of the workshop is. So is it they kind of follow a certain curriculum, but they talk about whatever the folks in the room are wanting to talk about, or do they just stick to that certain curriculum?
That's exactly right. They
okay.
do have a curriculum, but they do talk about what the other people in the group want to talk about, and kind of where the conversation leads to,
mm-hmm.
is what they do. You know, if they see a common issue among the group, they probably focus on that,
mm-hmm.
and then as well as continuing with the process that they're supposed to go through.
Right. Okay. And where do they have these workshops? Are they all over the United States or just in Valdosta?
They're all over the United States.
Okay.
And they're really pushing heavily for it. In 2018, they want to raise awareness about reintegration in the military lifestyle.
Sure.
And to offer programs to help people in need, people who need better communication.
Yeah. Well, and a little bit of assistance, maybe not just from their social support or just from their family or buddies, but also from a licensed professional who might be able to guide them in some ways. What would happen if one of the leaders of the groups noticed that there was kind of an issue that they felt needed a little bit more attention? Would they contact the Red Cross and tell them, or who would they contact about that?
If there was a larger issue, they may pull the person aside, and according to what the issue was, there could be multiple, that could actually mean multiple things.
Sure.
Probably offer more assistance.
Okay.
And maybe even find local assistance to help them.
That's great.
Any way possible. Yes.
That's great.
They want to highlight any, if there are additional needs, they will focus on those, speak with the individual, try to set them up with maybe some additional help.
And that's wonderful. So, you know, so many times you hear stories about programs or something that somebody reads or something that somebody watches, you know, for lack of a better term, it kind of opens up the floodgates. And then there's like nowhere to go for it. You know, it's like, okay, you've opened up this big wound, but now you don't have anything to heal it. But it sounds to me like Red Cross has a lot in line in case something doesn't seem right or they feel like somebody needs extra help.
And it could just mean that that there's another workshop for them.
Sure.
It could mean that maybe of the five workshops, this one was a starter, and maybe we could do another one.
Mm-hmm.
According to what the issue was, if it's stress and trauma, maybe we could do, instead of communicating clearly, we could do stress and trauma workshop as well, and they could attend that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe offer some additional help there.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful because I know that, you know, there's a huge need for it, obviously. And like I said, when we first started this podcast, that since September 11th, there have just been so many deployments and so many families separated and so much reintegration. And this is not, you know, reintegration is not a term that I was familiar with 10 years ago or 5 years ago, but now it's a constant, you know, it's just part of the military vocabulary, you know, like anything. So it's wonderful that this workshop exists. Are there any barriers that you've noticed in getting people interested in requesting these workshops?
One of the barriers that I have had the most experience with is centered around credentials of the facilitator. Oftentimes, I see that organizations are concerned about kind of what their credentials are. Are they qualified to do this and, you know, what qualifications they have? So a way we kind of mitigate that is by offering a stakeholders meeting. And this stakeholders meeting would occur previous, you know, before we set up the workshop. So the stakeholders meeting would consist of having a facilitator come out and they would kind of go over, they would include a mock workshop, credentialing information where they could answer any questions you have about the entire process. So potentially the facilitator that might lead a workshop would come and just kind of go over exactly what is in that workshop. To give, you know, anyone who wanted to participate more information.
To make people feel a little bit better about the credentials and about that process.
They are the professionals in this.
Right, right. So who is a stakeholder? Who would a stakeholder be?
It could be anyone. Military affiliation. We're really wanting to impact the military community.
Mm-hmm.
Schools. If you have military children and even staff at the school. Where there are military children. Maybe communicating clearly might help someone understand what that military child goes through by taking this class.
Mm-hmm.
So really anyone with a military affiliation.
Sure, sure. Okay. And I know that sometimes another barrier that, you know, I mean, I'm a licensed clinician, so I know that sometimes a barrier for me is that it is around my credentials, but it's because people hear the word therapist or they hear mental health and they immediately kind of close up or they say, oh, I don't really need that. Do you find that to be the case with some of these groups as well, that people are like, oh, it's led by a licensed mental health professional. What does that mean? You know, I don't need help or what could that mean for my military career, et cetera, et cetera. Do you find that that is a barrier as well?
So far, I haven't come across it yet, but yes, I would think that that would probably come up eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And with military, a lot of times you are concerned about what they might tell or what might be said in the meeting or something like that, but our facilitators keep all of the communication private.
So everything is confidential within those meetings.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. If somebody wants to learn more, and you've kind of already said this about how to request a workshop, but let's say that again. What would they need to do? If somebody wants to learn more about the Reconnection Workshop, or even maybe they're interested in being a volunteer, or perhaps they're interested in bringing a workshop to their community, what would they need to do?
They could call my office
okay.
at 229-257-2730. Or they could email me at amber.meza@redcross.org.
And her name is spelled A-M-B-E-R, and then her last name is M-E-Z-A. So again, it's amber.meza@redcross.org, or you can call her number at 229-257-2730, and that is her office line. Amber, was there anything else that you'd like to share with us about Reconnection Workshop today?
No, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. We really, really appreciate you joining us today and teaching us a little bit about this program. So thank you so much.
Our team feels so fortunate to have had the opportunity to talk with Amber about Reconnection Workshop. After hearing the experiences of the seven spouses at the beginning of the podcast and Amber's own personal experience as a military spouse and a former military service member herself, it is abundantly clear that the Red Cross is attempting to and succeeding at answering a very important call. I would like to spend a few minutes recapping this workshop from the discussion I had with Amber. Reconnection Workshop was established to support and ease the transition home from deployment. These workshops are confidential, small group modules led by mental health professionals. Their focus is on building skills that enhance the likelihood of positive reconnections among family members, as well as the successful re-engagement of the service member in civilian life. All of the workshops are completely free of charge and available to those who are impacted by a military deployment from all branches of the armed forces. This includes Reserve, National Guard, active duty service members, veterans, and their families. All of the workshops and materials used focus on learning useful tools, effective coping mechanisms, and where to find resources. The following are the titles and a brief description of each available workshop. Communicating Clearly. This module helps participants improve their communication skills to better manage the post-deployment period. Exploring Stress and Trauma. This module is designed to help returning service members and their families recognize and manage post-deployment stress and other war-related concerns, including trauma. Identifying Depression. This module is designed to help participants recognize and manage those behaviors, thoughts, and feelings that could be signs or symptoms of depression. Relating to Children. This module helps participants build on their personal strengths and increase their ability to address the issues of children's adjustment to the return of the military family member following deployment. And working through anger. This module addresses the anger that can occur when couples, families, and other relatives and friends are reunited after a military deployment. Anger is a common feeling after deployment and is a natural human response. This module offers options for how to respond when one is faced with emotionally intense situations and events. And, as Amber mentioned, two workshops have been created for the military child. These workshops focus on learning effective ways of problem solving and communication. They are designed to be delivered to children or to teenagers. The titles and a brief description of these workshops are Roger That, Communication Counts, which focuses on the importance of developing quality interpersonal communication and listening skills, and Operation 10-4 Confident Coping, which focuses on bolstering strengths present in older military children to help manage stressful situations. If you would like more information about these workshops, you can contact Amber directly, as she stated in the interview, or you can check out their website at redcross.org and click on Military Families. Our family development team recently hosted a webinar entitled From Diapers to Diplomas, Exploring Resilience in Military Children. The facilitator of the webinar, Dr. Catherine Mogul from the UCLA Simmel Institute for Neuroscience and Human Behavior, spent a large portion of time discussing the experience of deployment and reintegration back from deployment. Catherine shared with us an alarming finding in her research the children often remain just as anxious and sometimes more when their parent returns home from deployment. This shows just how important it is to have initiatives such as Reconnection Workshop to assist parents and children in learning the facts and how to cope. If you would like more information on the findings from Catherine, or if you would like to watch her webinar, you can go to learn.extension.org/events/3020. You can also go to YouTube and type in the search bar, From Diapers to Diplomas, Exploring Resilience in Military Children. We hope that you will find this webinar and all of the resources on this page helpful. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you'd like to hear more episodes from Anchored, check out the links provided on our website, or you can go directly to iTunes. Just enter MFLN Anchored Podcast in your search engine to get you there. We offer continuing education credits for most of our programming. Information about that can be found on our website, or you can just email our team at mflnfamilydevelopment@gmail.com. We hope you will join us next time. This material is based on work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy. U.S. Department of Defense award number is 2015-48770-24368.